Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So good to be in church today. First service was awesome. We had somebody give their life to Jesus for the first time in first service. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for, right? And today I'm going to talk to you about, I got a message, but I'm going to start out a little bit different. We're going to talk about some stuff that's going on in the world today. How many know there's some crazy going on? It's a lot of crazy going on, and I'm sure you guys have watched the news and you've seen what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Israel, and we could name all kind of places. But especially want to talk to you about what's going on in Iraq this morning. And normally we don't get real political or anything like that, but this isn't a political situation. This is a attack against fellow believers situation. And so we got a letter from our national director, Doug Jones, and he is over everyone who's ever graduated from Rhema Bible College, including us. And so we got a letter from him, and I'm going to read you the letter because it actually contained within it an email from a Rhema family. They're missionaries, and they are missionaries in Iraq. And I have a picture of them. I want to show you their picture because I want you to put a face to when I read this letter. Because, you know, we see so much on the news, and a lot of times, you know, I know a lot of us feel like you can't really trust everything you see on the news. How many believe that? But this is a report from boots on the ground. These are people, and you'll see they look just like you and me. And they're there, they've been there for 5 years, and they are missionaries in Iraq. Can you imagine taking your family to Iraq? I mean, that is true love of the gospel right there. But here is a letter from Grady, the man there. He says, "Dear friends, please join us in pleading the blood of Jesus over our precious country of Iraq. Have you seen the news updates? The terrorists have made more gains this week and even taken Kurdish territory, Christian and Yazidi towns. They are the religious minorities of Iraq, and those the terrorists vow to kill and destroy. There has been a massive influx of refugees into our capital, Erbil. And just today, the U.S. finally came through with an airstrike against the terrorists, actually not that far away. Our area is front and center in the news. Yesterday, when the bad guys advanced into the Christian villages, that hurt. To say that they're 40 miles west of Erbil, our capital, is crazy. We're just 45 miles to the northeast. So that would be saying that this crazy that is heading their way is like in Fort Lauderdale, just to put it in perspective. The Iraqi Christians have fled the captured villages, and the terrorists are pulling down the crosses, blowing up the churches many centuries old. They're doing what their father likes to do. Kill, steal, and destroy. The city of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, has been the ancestral homeland, this is very interesting, has been the ancestral homeland of Assyrians for millennia. An Assyrian identity has existed continuously since 3000 BC, and they speak a language evolved from Aramaic. When I say Shalom Aleichem to my neighbors, I'm saying peace to you, exactly as Jesus said it. Disciples Thomas, Bartholomew, and Theudas came to Assyria and converted the Assyrians to Christianity in AD 33. It's also said that Peter came in AD 37. The Christians of Iraq have stood strong for the name of Jesus Christ through genocides against them every second generation for 1,600 years. That is worth a lot to Jesus, and I know he remembers the martyrs and holds them in his tender palm. On a personal note, the Christians of Iraq have been so very kind and generous to our family, helping us to be here. We are asking you for your prayers and for your prayers of pleading the blood of Jesus over the precious people of Iraq. Thank you." And so when we hear this and we know what's happening, and when, you know, of course I watch the news, and I know most of us in here do a little bit or a lot, wherever you're at on that. But to be persecuted merely because of who you stand for, they're being persecuted because they're Christians. They're going around and taking their wives and their daughters, taking them, and we all know what happens next. And this is a horrible situation. And, you know, I just want to encourage us as a church, and Doug Jones asked that all of us encourage our churches all across the world. There's Rhema churches and many other churches all across the world to just pray. And so I want to encourage all of us not to get too numb to what is going on, that we just check out. And that's kind of what we do here in the U.S. and other places. And I speak for myself, too. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm saying this is a we thing. But we check out into Facebook. We check out into television. We check out into video games. And we just want to pretend that none of this is going on. But the problem with that is that we're not doing what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. He didn't say you're going to be, you strive to be. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Now, you may not know what that means, but here's what salt is. And this is why Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative. Salt preserves. Salt gives a balance to our bodies. Without the right amount of salt in your body, the liquid in your body isn't correct. If you have too much, you swell up, right? If you have too little, you waste away. Salt balances that out. And so Jesus is saying, listen, you are the preservation. You are the preservative to this rotting world. You are what is going to bring a balance of hope to a lost and dying people. When you turn on the news, you would say, there is no hope, right? There's rockets flying all over the place. There's wars everywhere. We've got our own problems right here in the U.S., but they don't compare to the problems that these people are having. They are literally running for their lives against what a worldly CNN news column has called a barbaric method of terrorism that this world has never personally seen. They said these people are so barbaric, it is beyond what anyone has ever seen. And I don't know about you, but we've seen a lot of bad stuff in our time. It says beyond that. But Jesus said, say Jesus said.
Jesus said.
You are the salt of the earth. We are here as a preservative. We are here because of the power and the light that's on the inside of us. But that power and that light has to be given an opportunity to shine. There is so much that you can do and I can do. You say, well, what, am I going to go over there? Am I going to send money? They don't need money. Money is not the answer. Sometimes we think money is the answer to everything. There are some things, there are many, many things that money cannot buy. I'll tell you what money can't buy. Money cannot buy the presence of God, and it cannot buy the power of God. And that is exactly what this world needs, the presence and the power of God. And so I just want to encourage all of us. Let's get our heads up a little bit, out of the TV. I'm speaking to myself too. Let's get it off the TV. Let's get it off of Facebook, off the video game, off of wherever your head is all the time. And let's just get our heads down and let's pray and ask God to move in this situation. Because you are, say that with me, say you are. Look at your neighbor. Say you are the salt of the earth. The Bible calls us the remnant. We're what's left. And you know, when you say like, well, this is too much for me. First of all, quit saying it's too much for you. Quit saying you can't take another thing, because neither of those comments are true. The Bible says the grace of God is sufficient.
Yes,
amen. God knew what was going to be happening in 2014, and He put you here. You have what it takes to live right now, right at this time. You have it. You've got what it takes. You know, we got to look back at Esther. How many know the story of Esther? Esther risked her life. She risked all that she had by going to the king and petitioning him for her people. And she changed a nation. And the Bible says she was born for such a time as this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, before you were even in your mother's womb, before you were even a thought, before your parents were even together, before time began, God knew you and had a plan for you. And part of that plan is being here right now at this time when the world is crazy. Because you are a balance. You are a light of hope. You are the salt of the earth. But then Jesus goes on to say, and he says, what good is salt if it loses its flavor? Here's how we can lose the power of salt. And here, just so you know, like with meat, if you take a cut of meat, they put salt on it to make it last. If you don't put salt on it, it rots quickly. Without the salt of the earth here, without the gospel being spoken by people just like you and just like me, this world will rot too fast. We are the preservative. We're here because God needs us here. And you know what? Jesus is coming back. And that's why the enemy is pushing hard and just using what the news would even call barbaric terrorists. But here's the thing about the enemy. He's never satisfied with where he is. You say, this doesn't concern me. This does concern you. It concerns you. Because the thing about evil, it spreads. It just spreads until light stops it. We're the light. The most powerful thing you can do is pray. It's just pray. So I don't know how to pray. Pray in the Spirit. If you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, come talk to us. Let us help you. Speak the word. Just ask God to move in the situation. How many can do that? You can just say, God, I thank you that you move in that situation. Say, my prayers don't matter. James says that your prayers makes much power available. When you turn on the news, don't you say, man, we need God. Well, your prayers make the power of God available to move. That's how it works. And so I encourage all of us, let's take it personally, because it is a personal thing. This is an attack against the people of God. That's all these people are people of God. And they want to exterminate them. Same thing is true for Israel. And so we have to stand. We have to be salt. So let's get salty. Amen. Amen? You know, everywhere you go in our area, what do you see on people's cars? Salt Life. Right? And they're talking about the ocean, but I want to encourage all of us. Every time you see a Salt Life, how many have seen a Salt Life sticker on a car? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Next time you see a Salt Life sticker on a car, I wanted to remind you that you're the salt. And just wherever you're at, just begin to pray and ask God to move in the situations around the world. Ask God to move and to have His way and to help these people. Pray for the Prickett family. Pray for them, for safety, that they're kept safe, that they're able to be used by God continually in this area, that those beautiful children are kept safe in Jesus' name. Every time you see a Salt Life sticker, I want you to just remind yourself, I'm the salt. And let's get salty. Let's pray, because that's the most we can do. And so then as I was praying, you know, I got a couple of sermon series that I've been waiting to bust out. And I'm excited about giving them out. One is on growth and one is on the roles we play in life. But last night as I was just praying and just, you know, talking to the Lord about all the crazy that's going on, because, you know, how many know that with the news and everything, it's hard not to be like, wow, this is craziness. These are the end times. How long those end times last? Well, it doesn't matter how long they last. These are your times. Amen? Say, this is my time. It's my time to do what God's called me to do. But last night as I was praying, I was just like, Lord, you know, with this going on and these people literally running for their lives, not just here but other parts of the world, and even in our own nation, continually losing more and more of the Christian fiber that this nation was founded on. And if you don't believe that, you need to get out your history book. Amen? And so, you know, the thing about this is the United States of America, we are a blessed nation. How many would agree with that? One of the reasons that we have been so blessed through so many years is because we are, now I'm going to get a little political, so you just be ready. Fasten your pew belt so you don't run away. Right? It's because we are one nation under God. The more that changes, the more it affects the world. Because this nation, because of its founding, because of its structure, because of its freedoms for all religions, not just ours, because of that, this nation, do you know the United States of America at one time, this is slightly changing now, is responsible for the gospel being spread all over the world. We send out more missionaries than anybody else. We pay for the gospel to be spread more than any other nation. But that is changing. It's changing because our nation is changing. And as our nation changes, let's wise up and realize the world changes. The world changes. Not because we're big shots, it's because of the gospel.
Amen.
Because the gospel isn't getting out the way that it did before. So the world is changing. Part of that is the end times. But let's not check out before Jesus comes back. Amen? Let's remember, I'm the salt of the earth. I'm here for a purpose. I was born for such a time as this. Let's look at the children in our children's church and say, what kind of nation will we leave for them? What kind of nation will we leave for Matthew? What kind of nation will we leave for my little guy Noah? What kind of nation are we going to leave for them? And you know what? That stuff changes based on prayer. It isn't about money. There's enough money. Money's not the answer. The power and the presence of God are the answer. And so I was praying last night. I was like, Lord, as a shepherd, as a pastor, what is the message for this day, for this time? Because as I wanted to preach the ones I've been working on, because I already got those done. Amen. I had a long day yesterday. I wanted to preach those. But I just didn't have a release about it. And I was just like, Lord, what is the message for this day, for this time, for this hour? What is the message for today? Because I want to give that message. And you know what? I was a little riled up, you know, because I'd watched the news. I'd read this. And I was like, oh, in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying. And I'm singing the great I am. There's no power in hell. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to preach on the battlefield. I'm going to preach on the armor of God. I'm going to preach on David and Goliath. And then the Lord said, this word just kept rising up in me. Love. No. I want to preach on something. I want to preach on something powerful, you know? And the Lord just kept saying, preach on love. Because that's all that matters. Nothing else matters.
Amen.
Nothing else matters if you don't have love. Amen? And so that's what we're going to preach on. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 12. I'll just read you the story for sake of time because I've been running over lately. I'm gonna be good today. It says, there is a rich man whose lands produce bountiful harvest. He asked himself, what should I do for I don't have enough space to store my goods? In other words, God is blessing him so much he doesn't know what to do with all his blessings. Then he says, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones. Then I'll say to myself, I have so many good things stored up for me. Now rest, eat, drink and be merry. But God, somebody say, but God. But God said to him, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and then to whom will all your things belong? Thus will it be for anyone who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. The question wasn't that he had treasure. How many like treasure?
Yeah.
It's okay, you can say you like treasure. I like treasure too. That's okay. We like having nice stuff. But see, if that's all you've got and you're not rich in what matters to God, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when we read this and this guy is saying, I've got so much stuff, I don't even have enough space to put it in. I'm just going to build a bigger barn. Now, I'll tell you a little story. I was with somebody. They do not go to church here. So you can look all around. They're not here, I promise you. Because as soon as I start telling a story like this, people are always like, I wonder who it is. Is it you? Is it you? It's not anybody here, I promise. I wouldn't lie in church, right? I wouldn't lie anywhere, but especially in church. That's just dangerous. That's dangerous. So I was talking to him, and they said they said they don't believe in tithing. I was like, really? And they said, yep, I don't believe in it. And I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's do this. You know, so let's go. Why don't you believe in tithing? And they said, well, because I've never seen anybody be so blessed that they didn't have enough, that the windows of heaven poured out a blessing on them that they could not contain it. That's what Malachi 3 says, in case you're wondering. It says when you tithe, God will open up the windows of heaven. He'll pour out a blessing on you so much that you can't contain it. Doesn't that sound like this guy? And I said, you've never seen that? He goes, no. I said, I see that all the time. He goes, where do you see that? I go, all the time when I drive around in the city and I see all the storage units people have. They have so much stuff. Isn't that right? They have so much stuff that they don't have room to contain it. So what do? They run a storage unit and they put the stuff that they don't have room to contain into the storage unit. How many have too many clothes in your closet? I'll raise both hands. Right? How many have your refrigerator is full? Anybody? My refrigerator is full. How many you've ever had to clean out your packed pantry because you've got stuff in there and you go to use it and it's like from 2010, right? Anybody? You got too much stuff. And so anyway, so I told him, I was like, I see that all the time. You know, I go, don't tell me God's not a blesser. I know he is. Because I see it. And so then we went on to have about a 2-hour conversation about tithing. But we're not going to do that now. But if you want to come up and tell me you don't believe in tithing, get ready. All right? Because we'll do it. I'll let you have it. In a nice way. In a nice way. Because I'm a nice person. I don't want you to live your life without knowing the power of God. Amen? Amen? And that's why I speak the truth. So anyway, so this guy, he's here, and he's got so much stuff. And God says to him, listen, you're not rich in what matters to God. And so Galatians 5:6, if you want to know, what matters to God? It says, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. How many followers of Jesus Christ do we have in here? We got a bunch. He says, all that matters. Say, all that matters.
All that matters.
Now, we learn this from our big words. Remember big words? Yes. What does all mean?
All.
You guys are amazing. You're amazing. Jeez. Let's just wow our neighbors. What does all mean?
All.
What does all mean in the Greek?
All.
What does all mean in Hebrew?
All.
What does all mean in Pig Latin?
All.
It means all. All means all. And so Jesus says, all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. That's all that matters. And so when we think about this and we read it, he says, listen, you want to be rich in what matters to God. This guy only thought about himself. It didn't occur to him that maybe God was blessing him, because we know God's a blesser. God was blessing him so he could be a blessing to other people. God never said it was bad for him to have stuff. What he was saying was, you've got the wrong idea about stuff. Stuff had him. It was what was most important. Stuff isn't bad, but if stuff has you, that's when you're in trouble. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Somebody say good thing.
Good thing.
How many like stuff?
Yes.
All right. I like stuff too. And so this guy, he just doesn't have a clue. And so we want to make sure that we're rich in what matters to God. We want to make sure that what in our lives, what matters most, we're walking in. So let's turn over to the famous love scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, how many know, I've preached on this many times. We say this at weddings a lot. People like to read this at weddings. And, you know, you see this on plaques. Like you go to like a Hallmark store or something, you see it on a plaque. But it's not just something for a plaque. It's not just something for a wedding. It's not something for a Hallmark card. This is life. This is words to live by. And so this is written to the church. Say, I'm the church.
I'm the church.
So this, the Bible is telling us how we should be. And it's telling us what's important. And so when we see all this crazy going on, we got to get back and say, all right, I'm just going to focus on what matters most to God. You know what matters most to God? Is Him loving us? And us loving others. That's what matters most to him. And so here we go. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. This first scripture, you know what it's going to tell me? It's going to tell me if I don't live a life of love, nothing I say will matter. Verse number 1 says this. If I could speak in any language, in heaven or on earth, but I didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise, like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. God says without love, you're just noise. Words without love are empty. That's just the truth. And you know, here's how, if you're at work, if you work somewhere, and you're telling everybody about what a great church you go to, and about how, because you go to a great church, about what a great church you go to, and about how good God is, but you're the meanest, biggest gossip, rudest person, they don't care what you have to say about church. Every time you talk about church, you know what they're doing? You may not be able to see it, but you know what they're doing? I'll show you. You guys ready? Is that not the truth? Because they're like, I don't want what you got. What you got hasn't changed you. I don't want it. And that's what the word is trying to tell us. Listen, if you don't love people, if you don't have a life of love, then whatever you're yakking about, nobody's going to listen. Because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. And you know, as people, we love it when somebody's a good talker, don't we? Anybody ever walked in somewhere and you're like, I'm not buying anything? But oh, a good talker got a hold of you. Next thing you know, you're like, I really needed all this stuff, you know? I mean, we're easily swayed sometimes. And so, you know, when it comes to our words, we want our words to mean something. Because the world is full of people talking. Right? How many have more than 100 channels on your television? Anybody have more than like 200? I don't even know how many I have, really, to be honest with you. You know, there was a time, I'm going to shock you young people. There was a time when there were 3 channels. Yeah. 3 channels. That was it. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. That was it. And then they had like PBS sometimes. Nobody watched that. That was like, nobody watched that. But that's all there was. And so, I mean, you could say there's nothing on TV. You cannot say that anymore. Because there are hundreds and hundreds of TV shows. There are hundreds and hundreds of news shows of people talking. Just talking. But you know what? What we need is not more talking. What we need is the presence and the power of God. Amen. And when the love of God is flowing through you, the presence and the power of God is flowing through you. And your words have power. Let's go to the second verse. How many want what you say to matter? You got to love. You know, especially when it comes to our family members. Somebody say, oh. You know, a lot of times we're talking to our family members and we want them to come to church and they don't listen to us. I want to encourage you. Do you know that Jesus' half-brother, James, he wrote the book of James? So he's he's Jesus' brother, you know? And so he writes the book of James. But here's the interesting thing you may not know about James. He did not believe in the power and walk in the power of God, the truth about God. Listen, till after Jesus went to the cross. So the next time your family member says, no, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to listen to you, be encouraged. Even Jesus' brother didn't go to church with him at all. At all. But here's the thing. A lot of times our family members don't want to come to church with us, but they don't want anything about us because we're just really mean to them. And we're not loving to them. And we're not kind to them. We're not forgiving to them. We're not letting the love of God flow through us. So what are our words? Meaningless. 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 All right, let's go to verse number 2. All right, here we go. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, I may understand all the secret things of God, I may have all knowledge, but I do not have love, then I am nothing. That's a pretty harsh word, isn't it? Nothing. So it's saying here, I may have love, I am nothing. Secret things of God, I may have all knowledge. It says, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. So the Bible's telling me that I can be a genius, I can be a Rhodes Scholar, I can be a literal know-it-all. I can know everything. But if I don't walk in love, if I don't have a life of love, if I don't let the love of God flow through me, then all that is for nothing. Because, you know, they say that the knowledge base of society, that it doubles every 6 years. Do you know that right now we are more knowledgeable than we have ever been? We know more stuff. There is more, we just know more stuff. But isn't it amazing that even with all that stuff we know, all that knowledge we have, we still have all the same problems. We still have war. We still have terrorism. We still have genocide. We still have crime. We still, and you can just name all of them. We still have all the same ones. Because knowledge doesn't change people. The presence and the power of God change people. And so it doesn't matter what you know. And a lot of times people that are super religious, They want to tell you everything they know. They want to tell you all the books in the Bible. They want to correct you on everything you say. They want to just wow you with knowledge from the History Channel. But if they don't have love in their life, what is it? We're just like, I don't want to hear from you. I want to hear from somebody who loves me. Right? Isn't that the power of God? For God so loved the world that he gave. And so when I get the power of God that's been put in me, according to Galatians 5, the Bible says that the love of God has been shed into me. It's been poured into me. And so the plan of God is that love that he loves me with, now I love other people with it. And here's why I believe that God said this is the message for this day, this time. How many believe we need to see some change?
Yes.
We need change. But here's the thing. This is why this message is for today. When that love got poured in you, when you received God, when you received Jesus as your Savior, and you realized that you were loved by the King of Kings, the Great I Am, loved you. He loved you. In spite of you, he loves you. He loves all your hang-ups, your screw-ups, everything. He loves everything. He loves you. That changes you from the inside out. And so now the plan of God is that I've received this love, and now I'm going to love people with it. I'm going to love people with the love of God. And when I do that, that's going to change them just like it changed me. And so we want to see a change, but here's how change happens. So Pastor Devon, he's received Jesus, so he's got the love of God has been shed in him, and now he's going to love people. It's going to go in him and through him, and it's going to affect everybody in his sphere of influence. There's going to be a change wherever he is, right? And then Pastor Chris, he's received that love. So guess what? There's going to be a change wherever he is. Because people don't really need more money. They don't need more knowledge. They don't need more yakety yak. What they need is the love of God. That love of God's been poured in you. Once it's poured in you, now it's supposed to go through you. That's how change happens. That's how we stop fighting. That's how you say, oh, you sound like a hippie. No, I sound like Jesus. Amen? I sound like Jesus. There is one thing that I hate, and I use that word exactly how it's meant. Some people are like, oh, hate's a strong word. I know it is. I know that. There's one thing I hate. I hate to see people who call themselves Christians carrying signs saying what God hates. I hate that. I hate that. Because you know what? The Bible says that there are seven things that God hates. Two of them, if you can only name seven things you hate, and you named one of them twice, how many know that means that you really, 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 really hate that one? You know what those two are? And you can go home and Google this. You know what those two things are that he hates twice? Anybody know? Lying. You never see anybody holding up a sign somewhere saying God hates lying. Has anybody? No, you don't see that. You know why? Because that sign could apply to them. People only want to hold up signs that apply to someone else. Let's put down those signs. If you're a sign carrier, you know, we may have some here. If you're a sign carrier, put that sign down. Let's pick up a different sign. And let's let the sign read this. God loves everybody.
Come on.
God loves everybody. And you know what would happen if we carried around signs that God loves everybody? Some crazy Christian group would come and say, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And they would have a sign up saying, God doesn't like you because you think that, no. And that's probably what would happen. But the truth of the matter is that God does love everybody.
Yes.
And God's telling us, listen, that's what matters most to him. You know, somebody asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, we have a question for you. And Jesus was always up for questions. And they said, what, can you sum up the Bible? Can you give me like the Reader's Digest version? You know, that's a shortened version of a book. Can you give me the Twitter version of the whole Bible? That's pretty good, right? That'd be a good sermon right there. The Twitter version of the whole Bible. Because it had to be short. You know what Jesus said? He said that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. And that you would love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's the whole thing. You want to be a Bible scholar? Know that. Amen? Know that. Because that's what matters most to God. That's what matters most. We are concentrating on things that don't really matter that much. And Jesus is saying, listen, be rich in what matters to God, that your faith causes you to love others. They love others. We just got to love people. Let's quit looking at people like they're less than we are. They're not. Let's quit looking at people that look different from us like they're whatever. They're just like you. We're all the same. We're all the same. All of us have the same in us. Because whether you believe it or not, we all came from the same place. We might look different. We might talk different. We might sound different. We might eat different kinds of food. We might dress different. But the truth of the matter is, we are all the human race. That's it. That's all there is to it. And Jesus said, listen, be rich in what matters most. Love others. Say, how do I love others? Real quick. I'm going to give you a couple of things real quick. Don't even try to keep up with me up there. Because I'm just going to skip around. One thing we can do, just close it up. You got to accept other people unconditionally.
Amen.
That doesn't mean I accept everything you do, but I accept you.
Amen?
Because isn't that how God accepted us? Aren't you glad you didn't go to the cross and God say, listen, you need to take care of this business you got going on? When you take care of this business, then come on back down and we'll have a talk. Aren't you glad? We'd all be like, oh, sorry, you know. Because you can't do that. But that's how we are with people sometimes. We see somebody and they look different. They got a crazy mohawk. Maybe they're covered in whatever. And we're just like, oh, you know. But we got to remember, you know what? God loves them just as much as he loves us. And so that's where we've got to accept people and say, hey, you know, God loves you. And show that love. Just because somebody is different from you doesn't mean you can't love them and accept them. That's what matters most to God. Doesn't mean I agree. I don't have to agree. But I still need to love you. Aren't you glad that when the woman was caught in, let's say with it, the very act of adultery, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing. I'm sorry, I can't help you here. He didn't do that, did he?
No.
He didn't agree with what she was doing because he said to her, he took care of the whole situation, and then what did he say to her? He said, daughter, where are your condemners? He goes, I don't condemn you either. And then he said, but go and sin no more. He still said what she was doing wasn't cool, but he still loved her, helped her, accepted her, but he did not condemn her. And then he said, he helped her. And they said, listen, you need to change your life. You need to change some things. Listen, nobody's going to listen to you preach to them if you don't love them. Nobody wants to hear about all the wrong things they're doing in their life. How many know you don't want to hear that? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that either. As soon as you start barking at somebody about all the wrong they're doing and all the sin and how they need to change, you need to change this, you need to change this, you need to change this, they're just like, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. But you start talking to somebody and say, you know what? God loves you. God loves you just like you are. God loves He loves you. You don't have to change. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to stop. You don't have to do anything. You just need to come. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Let's start concentrating on what matters most to God. So one way you can work on your love, your life of love, is just accepting people. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Everybody needs acceptance because nobody's perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, that's right. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. Nobody's perfect. You know, notice the basis for acceptance. It says we accept other people because Christ accepted us. That's why. That's how we do it. Christ accepted us in spite of our problems. He didn't turn us away and say, get cleaned up and then come back. But you know what? Sometimes we don't say that, but sometimes our actions say that. When somebody walks through our church doors and they look different or they live different or they sound different, our actions can be like, I don't accept you here. I'm not going to have anything to do with you because you are different. And that's not how Jesus told us to be. Jesus didn't say that. He said, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We need to accept people. There's a lot of people that are hurting and dying and lost but they've been hurt by religion. And it causes the wall to go up. As soon as you start talking about Jesus, a wall goes up. They don't want to hear it because they've been hurt by it. That's why when the love of God that's been poured in you flows through you, it's the love of God, the Bible says, that brings people into repentance, that draws them into the presence of God. That is what this world needs. They need believers to start acting like we are rich in what matters to God. What matters to God is loving people. So let's just start there. Let's, you know, I'm going to be more accepting this week. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with anyone. Isn't that good? Live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, that means whatever you can do about it, be at peace. Number two way that we can really, really be more loving and kind to people is to be an encourager. Be an encourager. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Build each other up. You know, there are three things you can count on with life with everybody. Everybody has a hurt, everybody needs encouragement, and everybody needs a lift. There is one thing that is a for sure, 100% positive, it is absolutely true. In this room, 100% of us have been hurt sometime in life. All of us have. Every one of us. Every one of us has been hurt. And so God tells us, listen, what matters most is you love people. We can love people by accepting them. Quit acting like you're better than people just because you have Jesus. Amen?
Come on.
Quit acting like you're better than people. You're not. The only thing you got that they don't have is Jesus.
Yeah.
And the only reason you got him is because he's merciful.
Come on,
yes. The only reason you got him is because he's merciful and he loves you in spite of you. Same thing, the only reason I got Jesus is because he loves me in spite of me.
Yes.
Because of his mercy, he gives me what I need, not what I deserve.
Amen.
So let's be loving and accepting to people. We live in a diverse world, but no matter how different people are, there's one thing we all need. That's Jesus. We all need Jesus. We all need him. And the best way for people to know Jesus is not by you telling everything you know. It's not by you being a smarty pants. It's not by you hitting them over the head with a Bible. It's not spouting off verses. It's for the love of God to flow through you. That's the best way for people to know him. Because he is love. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray that every person in this room, that they would know and experience the love of God. Father, I ask you to help each one of us, remind us to continue to pray for the situations in the world. Remind us that you said that we are the salt of the earth. Help us stay salty. And Lord, as we go about our days tomorrow, I ask that you help each one of us to walk in the love that you have given us. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you show each one of us how much you love us and you help us love people. If you're here today and you say, man, that sounds good. I want the love of God in my life. Well, just like with anything, you got to start at the start. You can't start in the middle. You can't start in the end. You got to start at the start. And for with a life with God, to have the love of God in your life, the power of God in your life, the presence of God in your life, you need to start with the start. You got to start with Jesus. You got to start with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the starting place to a life with God, the starting place to a life of forgiveness, a life of power, a life with the security of knowing you're on your way to heaven, The start is by saying yes to Jesus. Yes, I want the gift of Jesus. I want the gift of salvation. I want to be forgiven. I want to know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want the love of God to be poured through me. I want that. You got to start with the start. You got to start with Jesus. So if you're here today with nobody looking around just for a minute, out of respect for people, that's why I ask you not to look around. And you say, Pastor Peggy, that's what I want. I want to start with Jesus. I want to receive the gift of salvation. I want to give him all of me, all my mess ups, my screw ups. I want to give him everything. And I want to receive all of him in exchange. His love, his mercy, his kindness, his forgiveness, his redemption, his salvation. I want to know that I know I'm on my way to heaven. I want the gift of Jesus. If that's you, nobody looking around, I just want you to raise your hand up and say, Peggy, that's me. I want the gift of Jesus. I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I don't do that. But I am going to ask you to just raise your hand up and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. I want the gift of Jesus. Anybody else? Oh, thank you, Lord. We have somebody raise their hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here and you say, oh, you know, I should have raised my hand. Well, praise the Lord. You can still raise your hand up. Or you can just say this prayer together with us. Let's all say this prayer with this person. Say, Father God, this morning, I give you all of me for all of you. I receive the gift of Jesus. I receive forgiveness, redemption, and a knowing that I'm on my way to heaven. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, and he rose again, all for me. I receive the gift of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's good? Hey, let's remember, when you see that Salt Life sticker, let's stay salty and let's pray for what's going on in the world, right? All right, we got like a few things to do. You guys ready for it?